You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, a theft problem at Rebel Sports. The Australian share market breaks 9,000 points for the first time, and investors look to the US, where Jerome Powell will speak tomorrow night. How will it influence the markets? All of that next. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Thursday, the 21st of August, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market closed at yet another record high and above 9,000 points for the first time, up 1.13%. We'll have the details with Gemma Dale from NAB Trade in a few moments. But first to the consumer, where theft has become a problem, particularly at sports retailer Rebel Sports, and has contributed in part to shrinking margins at its parent company, Super Retail Group. Now, it did post a fall in normalised full-year profit, but that was ahead of expectations, and sales hit a record of more than $4 billion. Now, Super Retail employs 16,000 people and owns brands like BCF, Supercheap Auto, and Macpac. And while it has seen a rise in shoplifting, it's a bigger problem at Rebel. So for more, its CEO Anthony Heraghty spoke earlier at an analyst teleconference briefing.
Disappointingly, we did experience a significant step up in stock loss activity during the period, which negatively impacted gross margins and offset top line performance at the profit before tax level. We're no longer dealing with the teenager stealing a pair of tracksuit pants in the change room. Rather, this is a much more sustained and systemic problem, and I encourage those involved in it to find alternative employment. The team have implemented a number of measures to address this activity during the second half in an effort to limit the impact of the profitability of the business in FY26. One of the interesting things about the stock loss is it has a pretty aggressive Pareto, so you're not seeing, across the whole group, we're not seeing the same rate of stock loss acceleration. That's the first issue. It is more of a Rebel issue. Then we dive in, double-click into Rebel. It is more of a Victorian issue. And then we dive into Victoria. There is a number of stores. So what we're finding is that in terms of what we're deploying at countermeasures, it is in labour. So we're in terms of just having visibility of team members, that's one. Second is some capital costs associated with physical barriers and the like, body cameras and the like. So these are not material impacts. These countermeasures are not material impacts on OPEX, nor CAPEX for that matter, because it is a relatively narrow Pareto of stores that are problematic. So it's not an across-the-board burglar fest.
That's Anthony Heraghty there, the CEO of Super Retail Group, speaking at an analyst teleconference briefing earlier today. Shares in the company, though, were the best performing on the ASX 200. But I want to find out more about what it says about the consumer with Gemma Dale from NAB Trade in a few moments. This all comes on a day where the Australian share market hit a record high, the S&P ASX 200, closing at 9,019 points, a rise of 1.13% today. 10 of 11 sectors ended higher, the best industrials followed by consumer staples. The best performing stock on the ASX 200 was Super Retail, up 12.8%, followed by Brambles, which added 12.6%, followed by Vault Minerals, which added 12.5% today. The worst performing stocks today included James Hardie, extending its losses yesterday and down another 9.8%. Sonic Healthcare lost 13.2%, and the worst performer was IPH Limited, a decline of 19.3% today. So for a wrap of the day's market action, her take on some other profit results and what she thinks about the consumer, I spoke with Gemma Dale, market analyst at NAB Trade. Gemma, can I start with Super Retail Group? I find it super interesting. Record sales, profit down. Still, it's better than expected, and its share price at a record. But it also made mention that it's seeing a shoplifting problem, particularly at Rebel. What do you think this says about the consumer overall? Because as we saw, sales are at a record, but some parts of the community are having to resort to a crime.
Yeah, it's fascinating that particular, the fact that they felt obligated to call it out as well in the results. It's obviously significant. When you look at the results, sales up 4.5% over the year, stronger in the second half. Same store sales up about 2.5%. So even though they are expanding, they're still seeing growth across stores broadly. One of the issues we've got when we're trying to unpick this retail data, because it is so complex, we know that at the individual level, people are really not feeling flush with cash. And yet at the aggregate level, sometimes we're seeing things like this come through where the numbers look great. So we have very, very strong population growth, and that does seem to be a big driver. More people, more sales, you're going to see an uplift. What is really interesting, though, as I said, is you've got this sort of weaker first half, stronger second half, stronger again coming into the new financial year. So is that part of the story around lower rates, slightly lower interest rates, sort of softening inflation? It's not like we have deflation. Prices aren't coming down, but we're seeing it a little bit softer. And then you're also seeing a good chunk of the population who are, if they're invested, seeing record share prices, they're seeing really strong house price growth, they're seeing their asset prices increase, and perhaps those people, particularly if they're getting a good return on their savings as well, feeling far more comfortable to spend. So you've got a real bifurcation, I think, in the population, some particularly those with mortgages or who are renting who are struggling, and then a different group in the population who are very much willing to spend where it counts.
Okay, you mentioned the word record there. If we look at the broader market, the ASX 200 again hitting a record, a milestone during the day, breaching 9,000 points. What's pushing the market higher?
Yeah, it's incredible to watch, isn't it? When you consider we were well below 8,000 just after Liberation Day, which was only in April. It's been quite an extraordinary run back. I think it's quite fascinating. Some of this is quite clearly sentiment driven. A fair bit of it, I think it was quite a significant relief rally. So we've seen things just turn out nowhere near as horrifically as we thought they were going to when those first tariff announcements started to come through and people were absolutely pricing in the worst. To the point we were making about retail, a lot of sectors of the economy have been far more resilient than anticipated. The most interesting thing about the ASX 200, though, making record highs, is that our biggest companies are not at their highs. CBA's come off a little bit, BHP's come off a little bit, CSL's come off quite hard. We're seeing the banks a little bit off their highs. So that tells you there's actually a fair bit of broad-based strength. This is not just one or two companies dragging the market higher and everyone sort of lagging behind that. It's actually quite broad-based. So that does tell you there's a reasonable amount of optimism in the market at the moment.
When you look ahead, though, you know, this is happening even when AI stocks in the US are reversing recent gains and ahead of what's expected to be a very important speech from the US Fed governor tomorrow night, US time. Is there the potential for this to derail these gains?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So the AI story in the US, I think, is anomalous. I mean, we don't have anything similar here in terms of extraordinary CapEx, extraordinary share price growth, where we're seeing comparisons with the dot-com bubble. And what's been the catalyst, we think, for this little pullback has been OpenAI CEO Sam Altman saying, yes, this could be a bubble, which tends to make people a little bit nervy. But people were very well aware that prices they were paying for, particularly those tech mega caps, were pretty extraordinary. So anything can derail it when prices are that high, even if they're just taking a bit of a breather. And then we do have this extraordinary scenario where the Fed is expected to cut. We still have sort of an 80%+ expectation of rate cuts priced in currently, and yet Jerome Powell and the rest of the board perhaps not feeling strongly that it's time to cut, and we have a speech coming. We did see the minutes from the most recent meeting released. They were from prior to the most recent job report, so it's worth noting they don't have that weak job number factored in, and they were quite hawkish, and that did make the market a little bit nervy too.
Okay. We mentioned Super Retail earlier, but they were just one of a number of profits out today. Which caught your attention and why?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, there's so much going on today. It was huge, more than 20 of our top companies reporting. So lots to look at. I think if you look at the healthcare sector, particularly, quite a bit of weakness there. We saw CSL really disappoint the market earlier in the week. And then we had Sonic and Healius today, both off sort of 13-ish%, really disappointing the market. So the whole sector seems to be under a fair bit of pressure for a variety of reasons. The one that was most astonishing to watch was Megaport. Really disappointed the market, really, as in the share price was off more than 20%, very sharp fall at the open, and then really remade all of those losses very, very quickly and was only down about 1.5% after the CEO came out at the investor call and kind of calmed everybody down. So you don't see that kind of turnaround very often, but clearly everyone rethought their initial response.
And just finally, in wrapping up, I'm just keen to know if there are any interesting statistical insights you're seeing from NAB trade data at the moment, perhaps in the way people are trading, where or volumes, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so our volumes are quite astonishing at the moment and quite telling. We've had record highs in our cash book almost all throughout this year. So investors have been piling into cash. They're reasonably comfortable where interest rates are. They feel the market's quite toppy. You see that. You know, they'll take their dividends in cash and not reinvest them when they're worried about where share prices are. They absolutely piled into the market after Liberation Day. So when the market came off, they were absolutely buying up their favorite stocks. We're starting to see that again, but it's anything that's beaten up. So CSL this week was probably the largest volume I've seen go into a single stock in the last 5 years, let's say post-COVID. Absolutely astonishing amounts of money going into that one particular company and very, very high value investors doing it. People going, this looks like a great price to buy this right now. Clear standout this week.
That's Jim O'Dowd there from NAB Trade. It ends our podcast for this Thursday. Remember that stock too, just very briefly, we spoke about earlier in the week, Kylie Resources shares rose around 2,900% on Monday. It has since been suspended from quotation since then, but it actually came back onto the market late this afternoon. Shares coming back on the market quite dramatically weaker, down by about 82% today. So giving up most of those gains. Details are only just coming through. We'll update you on the podcast tomorrow of some reasons why that happened. In the meantime, if you enjoy the podcast, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and click subscribe.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.